Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Blackman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome. Oh, there it is. Oh, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter podcast. We are playing the intros live while we record, which we haven't done that in a while. Normally it's just in post, but it feels good.
It's been a minute.
Pumps us up. We thank you for being here and listening to the show, whether you really want to or not. We appreciate you giving us a chance, listening, supporting us. Please give us a rating or review anywhere you listen. Subscribe to our YouTube. Things rolling into that. WorkingClassBowhunter.com. We have shit for sale. Buy it or don't. We don't care, but it helps us. And we have a Patreon account.
I did care a little bit.
If you got extra money and you just want to give it to a bunch of dumb wage brains, we appreciate that as well. We want to thank our partners. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports, Scent Crusher, Loophold, Thermoseat, Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite Archery, Big Tine, Old Barn Taxidermy, and Combination Creative. And right now, if you're wanting logo work done or anything like that, mention WCB and get $50 off a logo.
$50.
Thank you to all of our partners. We appreciate the hell out of you. And welcome to part two of Ross's Epic 2020. Again, thank you for being here. The support, the messages, the comments, everything means so much to us. It's cool to see a bunch of idiots like ourselves be up in the big boys of the podcast game and the outdoor industry. So thank you. You have done that for us. And we literally just can't thank you enough.
Really appreciate it, and we love it.
Yeah. So
you're all the MVP.
We've been pulling our own wagon, and we appreciate you guys jumping in the wagon and being a part of it. Ross, do you have a veteran shout-out?
I do. My Uncle Joe Bigger served in the military in Vietnam, and he's over there for a few years. And, I just want to thank him for his services.
Very cool.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate
it,
buddy.
He's a big time hunter. He's hunting basically the same property I'm hunting.
Does he love or hate you?
He loves.
He does love you.
He might say that, but
I would think it's a love hate relationship.
If I see my nephew shooting 300 inches, I'm like,
Shit. Does he listen to the podcast?
I don't think so.
Does he know what a podcast
he
is?
He appreciates it.
He knows. He's seen the logo.
He's seen the logo.
That's about it.
He likes the sign that Eric cut out and I put on the wall. We put on the wall and we got all lit up.
So that's good enough. I'll take that.
The hats are nice, you know.
Yeah.
He likes the hats.
We'll get him a hat.
Yep.
That's the biggest sign I cut out.
Four footer? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what are these in the studio? 2 foot?
Those are
30s?
18 inches, I think.
That's got to be bigger now.
That's a two footer.
Two foot.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Very cool. Hey, well, I mean, come on. It's a little much, but.
Sorry.
So we've been trying to hammer out these unpopular opinion segments because they're fun. They piss people off, and then they get people excited. They either piss people off, make them happy, or they get excited. But as we said in Austin's Traditional Journey Part 1 podcast, don't take our sarcasm and bullshit opinions too seriously. Half the time we're kidding around. Sometimes we might mean it, but we don't want to deter anyone from being our buddy.
Key word is opinion. It's an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. You don't like it? Go fuck yourself.
Literally called unpopular opinion. I mean,
the segment is here for controversy and fun. If you disagree with us, let us know why. And I think it's hilarious. And hey, I thumbs up to you.
Hey,
you
better be pissed off than be pissed on.
Hey, hear that. So here's the deal. I don't know how to say your last name, Timothy. The October lull is fake and is a result of bad hunting strategies. And he added ... after that. So he must feel strongly about it.
Six dots after it, huh?
So, all right. That is the unpopular opinion.
Oh, should I start her?
What's up?
Okay. Timer.
Well, here, hold on. The jingle.
A colorful, emotional, working class hero.
Come on.
That opinion's not very popular.
Come on.
Seriously, but let me know.
Now it's the unpopular opinion segment.
The October lull is fake and is a result of bad hunting strategies. I'm going to give this to Chandler first. Do you agree with this unpopular opinion?
Well, no. Yes, I do disagree with it. Obviously, there's a lull in activity in October compared to the flurry of activity that you see in November. All deer move more in November, especially big bucks. They spend more time on their feet in the daylight. So when you're just comparing strictly based off activity that you're seeing, yes, there's going to be more activity in November than October. With that being said, we all know that you can get on deer in the early season. I just prefer the rut when it's crazy, and I embrace the chaos.
So, but saying that the October lull, is that going to discourage you from going out and being in the tree stand?
No, not if I got a bead on a giant. But I'm not going to go in and blow my spot up in October if I don't have a bead on something.
Exactly. Right. So, I'm going to go kind of along with Austin said here. I mean, you get a bead on. For me, I'm going to put all my money on early season. If you have the time and you can pattern those deer, they're still on their summer pattern. You know, that October 1 through 5, you can easily get a deer shot on a summer pattern. And then you get into that middle of October, obviously, there is a lull. I don't care what anybody says, there's a lull.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go in there and skunk up a spot just to be out there.
Yeah.
I would rather just hold my cards back and wait. But,
yeah.
You know, each one of those deer, if you think about it, coming off that summer pattern, they're all trying to pick their lane, and they're finding their corner, and they're going to get to that corner pretty quick once they switch off that summer pattern. And that's what you get, what you see is the lull. I mean, in my opinion, they're all just sitting back tight, kind of establishing their little pocket that they're going to stay in.
Yeah.
And then once everybody starts getting bucky and now I'm going to fight for my area and this is my spot. And then now you start seeing that October 22nd, 25th range.
Yeah.
Into November 1st. Now they're, you know, rattling's working. They're all getting fired up and ready to go. So that's my thinking.
My opinion on it is I do think the October lull is a real thing, but I think it depends on the property, where you hunt, how you hunt. I've hunted properties where mid-October you do not see deer because I didn't have the food sources that deer are moving to. I didn't have the areas that I thought deer were changing, like Ross mentioned, from pattern to pattern. Yeah, does it discourage me from going? No.
Nope.
Because you don't know what a wild animal does all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a generalization. There's like percentages that they're going to do this, but not always. If I can hunt, I'm going. I will save my more calculated moves for times other than that middle October week. Do I think the October lull is real? Yeah, but I will say this. Timothy, I appreciate your comment, buddy. And I don't know if you listen or not, if you just threw the comment in, but either way, we do appreciate you. I think people who say the October Lull is fake, I better go to your Facebook page and see that you have a collection of mid-October bucks. Because to make bold statements like this, you need to have success that can prove it wrong if you're making it. Because if you know,
absolutely,
you need to tell me why you know if you're making comments like this. Just like there's other podcasts out there that say October Lull is fake, it's bullshit, you don't know how to hunt deer if you think there's an October Lull. Well, then you better, October 15th, you better be killing a buck every fucking year. Otherwise, you can't tell anybody else shit.
You can't get lucky on one and say it's fake.
That's right, it's a fluke. You got lucky on one.
You hunted the fringes, and you got a wild card.
Yep. So, nothing against you, and I'm not saying this is you, but if you're going to tell me that, you better be damn fucking consistent the middle October if the lull is fake.
You better have some fucking proof to back it up.
Because you know more than me, if that's the case. And you might, and credit if you do, but if you don't.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys out there that love that first couple weeks of October, and they consistently get it done every year. That's just not my wheelhouse. I'm farming. I don't do that. So.
And there's a lot of older guys that I've seen and read that they love that early, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks in October, and they'll lay off till late season.
Yeah, no,
because
which is
you can't
cool too.
You can't pattern and kill a buck during the rut because he's just going crazy.
Yeah,
that's right.
How about that for an unpopular opinion? You're gonna pattern a buck on a doe? I don't know. Come on.
Well, hey, that's the same dudes that packs their snacks.
You pattern the does. You don't pattern the bucks.
By the way, the snacks for Kurt's post is not funny.
I love them, and I'm glad I started it.
I think I made somebody mad. They're like, tagged me in one. I was like, just so you know, it's not funny.
You told them that?
Yeah. It was.
I thought I started something great.
You definitely started.
You just shut them down.
I don't find it funny. I find the trophy tape funny. I think that's really funny.
Well, I find it funny, so.
The snacks thing is like, nah, what are you doing?
Anyways. I agree with Ross. Ross hit the nail on the head. Like,
the deer, anyway,
I don't want to talk about that.
Like, the bucks got their pockets and stuff, but you know, I'll be hunting field edges at least because you know the food's there.
And the weather's right. I mean, we got some cold fronts here this year. That
October this year was kind of a different.
We flip flop
different beast.
October this year is better than November this year.
Right. That's right. Yep.
We had strong winds, crazy shit happening. Warm days in November.
Crazy shit just happening.
Well, this is a common thing. There's guys killing early. Which, I mean, kind of all of us did here, all the Illinois boys, except Iowa. But not to rub that in again, but like, it's just
damn
what it is. But
just rubbing the wound.
There's a lot of guys that I know that are like, man, my season sucks because they didn't hunt in October, but then put it all their time in November because that's traditionally when it's better.
Right.
But this year, the weather patterns were basically cueing you to put time in differently.
Kind of flip-flopped.
Hunt bucks right out the gate, right away. Make moves in spots you might not have normally made moves. Mm-hmm. This year is a little different than normally. The normal, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
It is, but don't get stressed out, guys. I mean, there's still a lot of season left here.
Season's
and now you guys
half over, maybe?
I mean, you're going to get out there and you're going to get cold, but you're going to kill a buck. I mean, you put the time
in.
I
hope you're right.
You will. I mean, seriously, I love my late season stuff. I mean, that's
you're usually a late season guy.
Well, normally, yes. I love late season.
Well, think about it right now. At the time of recording this, we're maybe halfway through season, like legitimately.
Yeah.
We've done half of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You're right.
There's plenty of time. They're still chasing. You still got
two more ruts to go through.
You still got 25 days of rut activity, you know, here and there.
Absolutely.
You know, and then right into late season. I mean, you guys are still in the cards. It just doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel that way just because of the weather we've had this year. Because it got
cold. Just because of the weather.
It got real cold in October, and then got warm in November, and it's just
there's always that first 2 weeks of rut where you just wear yourself out almost. But
yeah,
I'm still holding strong.
You guys got this. Well, cool. Unpopular opinion segment turned into season discussions. Cool. Thanks, Timothy, for submitting that. Appreciate you, dude. Moving on. Ross's Epic 2020 Part 2.
Part two. So,
so we got the old Lennox air conditioner mule deer.
Yep. Got that one.
He's in the bag.
Old Lenny.
Yep.
Old Lenny.
Do you know the brand of the air conditioner?
I should have took it might be in the photo. I took a photo of all the mule the muley does all stacked around me. I even got that Dakota silhouette decoy in the picture too. So yeah, it was fun. Might be. I don't know.
That's fun.
I don't know. I don't know what brand it was. Anyways.
Good brand.
So we started, so I've been hunting pretty hard got back to Illinois feeling good after that first kill.
You didn't break your arm again.
Didn't break the arm again. Yep. Went for a checkup, x-ray, everything looked good. I'm like, oh, thank God. So we just keep massaging that bad boy out.
Yeah.
So hunting pretty hard, passing good bucks, man. I've had a great year as far as passing border. I mean, borderline shooters, 150-inch deer, splits, trash, looking good, but just spindly tine, square body, just letting them walk. And it's tough, man. I'll tell you, it's really, really tough to sit there and watch them go by. And I posted a bunch on my Instagram, a few videos letting them go, and it's that part hurt. But I was looking for a mature buck, and I know of three of them. I had a hit list of three.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out there was a fourth that I didn't know about. I mean, I knew about him, but didn't think he was really there. So he was just a ghost I was hunting. But no kidding, I had three deer picked out that I knew were 5+, and they weren't anything to talk about, really. They were just nice, good bucks.
Talk about one Don Vito.
Break
down Don Vito, because we've talked about him in the past.
Yeah, we have. Donnie showed up this year. He's still Donnie. Alive, believe it or
How
not.
How old is Donnie?
He's got to be at least 15.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm thinking 20.
Dude, honestly, I'm dinosaur. 20. Like a minimum of 10, right?
Oh, dude, he's got to
be. There ain't
be,
no
man.
Way that deer is under 10 years old.
He's got to be every bit of 10. So
last year, he looked like he should be in a fucking wheelchair.
That deer's been ancient for 4 years yeah. now.
Do you kill Don Vito, or do you just let him live out his days at this point?
I think he's almost earned the pass by now.
At this point, I'm going to have to give him the pass unless he starts showing up and gets regular, and then I got a little honey at home that would love to shoot a big old buck like that. So,
yeah, there you go.
Anyways,
a little honey. Sorry. Just like the way you worded that, it was funny.
So she, if
Robin's looking Play-Doh snakes, just waiting for waiting for Don Vito.
Come on, Donnie, make your move.
Yeah, mess up, big boy.
So I'm still on bird watch right now for old Donnie to show up. But yeah. You know, it's so I'm going into this hunt hard. I mean, this few weeks. I mean, I've honestly pulled more all day sits this year than I ever have. I've talked to you in other episodes about killing midday, like
hey, you're midday
stuff.
Guy.
Like I've shot, you know, four or five.
Isn't that funny? But also, you've never killed a midday buck.
Unless I see a shooter in the morning, I'm usually getting out, taking a little break for an hour or two, anyways, and then getting back in.
Yeah,
but the more I watch Ross get it done, the more value I can see in it. So yeah, this year I spent 3 or 4 days sitting midday.
Yeah, it's more educated all day sits than luck all day sits. Right. That's the main difference with me.
It's brutal. Don't get me wrong. It's brutal. You got to pack your lunch. You're eating a PB&J and a granola bar and a bottle of water.
It's brutal. It fucking sucks,
dude. It's nasty. I mean, you got to get up. You can't stretch. You can't stretch for shit. I mean, you're just anyways.
It's rough.
So for this buck here, my first whitetail in Illinois, I've got pictures of this deer for quite a few years, honestly. Never had an encounter with this deer, and just gotten pictures of him broad daylight, evening, morning, midday. He's just out cruising, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Me not being there.
Cruising for a bruising.
Yeah, so he's just running around doing his thing, and he's just a big. I can just tell he's an old mature buck. I've got old pictures of him I've posted too. He's a deer that wouldn't be my first choice, but if I don't have anything else out there that I'm really after, like this is a perfect deer to shoot. He's old enough, like this. I mean, I would love to kill this deer, especially on this year that I've been on anyway. So
right,
you know, I go out there and I'm doing my all day sits, and I'd been hunting for Vito for about 5 days straight and pulling, I'd say 90% of that was all day sits. I mean,
Do you have a lot of pictures of Vito this year?
I've got a few, but I didn't run cameras this year, man. I changed my program altogether. I kind of went in a dark hole with this broken arm. I didn't run cameras at all summer.
Yeah. I don't think that's really the bad thing, honestly.
I did get, well, that and we kind of just.
Because I didn't do that either, and I saw more bucks this year than I ever had.
Yeah, we discussed early on this year, you know, in a podcast that we ought to just lay back a little bit and maybe just be more conservative with cameras, deer are seeing cameras. Let's just back that off a little bit. So that's what I did. I didn't get out there and prune any stands. I couldn't hang any stands. Like, this was just, like, I'm in a cast. I was able to get my brother to help me, and we got a food plot put in, which turned out to be really nice, nice big time plot. But that's about as much effort as I put in. I hung cameras. Shit, I don't know. It was like middle October. I think I finally started getting cameras out. Which
didn't really help. You had a broken arm, so I don't blame you for.
Yeah. So I got cameras out, didn't really check them, just started hunting. And then I place these cameras in spots where I know I'm going to hang a stand, or there's already an existing stand where I can go in, hunt it, pop the card, and then I'll just check them as I hunt, you know.
Right. Intrusion just for cameras out
just
there.
Just for cameras and hunting. Like, I'm hunting, and then the camera's a bonus. So, anyways, I go in, and I have a camera in this spot that I went to. My buddy went and hung the stand for me, for himself and me.
Great friend.
But basically, this is one of our hot spots. This is where the deer are at. I can't hang a stand right now at this point. I'm still trying to get my arm back together. But he goes and hangs it, and I knew it was there. The wind finally switched and was going to be good. But in the afternoon, as the evening set, it was going to be bad. Like, it was going to start switching.
Mm-hmm.
But Austin made a comment the other day when I started bitching about the wind and how I really can't hunt that spot. And I know it's a good one, but, you know, the wind's going to be all funky, and I just got to do something. I got to do something different. Austin made the comment, dude, when it's good, you got to get in that. You got to get in there, put the best odds to your favor, try to play the wind, but you got to risk it. You can't just not hunt it because you think the wind's going to screw you up. You just got to go. They might be on the right side of the tree when you could.
Yeah, my daughter's going nuts.
Isla's going crazy. With him saying that, just kind of put the extra confidence in me that I know this wind's going to switch. I know things are going to get funky, but I'm willing to risk it and piss on it. I'm going.
Yeah.
And I've gotten that stand. I sat it all day, and I waited till basically it was down to, what was that, like 3:45, I think he came out. They were early. So does and small bucks have been running around in front of me for a little while. Nobody winded me yet. It was feeling good. Mm-hmm. Wind starts switching. A doe and a fawn come walking out. They start kind of catching me, but they can't really tell what it is yet. Mm-hmm. So they just lock up and stand there like 30 yards.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out
what's going on. Like, mama doe's like, something ain't right. We're not going to hit that field yet. This is a fresh cut cornfield. I am in day. This is day number. What's the next day after this cornfield got picked? So you know it's going to be hot.
That's why I had to go there.
Yeah. They are coming to the field. So I went back into the money spot and set up in this stand. She's jacking around. The two does are jacking around, trying to pick me off. I hear something else coming, and they're coming from the perfect side of the tree, out of the timber, moving their way through the timber. They could end up like 15 yards in front of me on the trail, or they could bust out like 30 yards away from me and move out through like this big, tall CRP grass,
mm-hmm.
just a little patch right before they hit the cut corn.
Yeah.
And he's following this doe. She's leading him by, I don't know, 15 yards or so. He stops and just starts raking an old rotten stump and just sits there and keeps poking at it and ripping bark off of it. And
going to town.
And she's just sitting there waiting on him, like, get done showing off, would you? And maybe we can move on.
Are you done yet?
He's over there just flexing, and she's like, let's go. Come on.
Are you done?
Are you done yet?
So I'm ready. Here we go. So no kidding. This is the first time I ever got to watch a mature buck. He come up behind her. She's full-blown submission to this dude. Like, it was awesome. So he full-blown bred this doe. Like the coolest thing ever. Like,
yeah.
So young bucks chase does. Does run their asses off. Stay away from them, because I don't know if anybody else is out there. I'm sure there's guys out there that have seen young bucks and older bucks breed does, but the young bucks are just, they're just rammy and it's not cool. And
they're not smooth.
No. And so I got
to
watch.
It's like you were in high school.
Yeah. Right. So,
yeah.
So three times I've seen bucks breed does, two young ones, and then this was the first mature buck, and totally different ball game. She wanted him, he wanted her. It was a beautiful thing.
Right.
Very consensual. So he's so he like slow mows.
That's right. It's 2020.
So he like slow mows up there and he breeds her. And this, they're at 34 yards, and I already got my pin set like 30.
Your
like
full draw.
No, not quite. No. I was letting him finish.
Right. Know? Good man. Good man.
So I let him finish.
What a guy.
And then they start moving ahead. And when they start moving ahead, I go to full draw real slowly. Now this doe and this fawn are still like got me trying to figure me out. They're like right there. Yeah. Trying to peg me.
Right.
I just slow motion went to full draw, and they step out. I want to kill him at 30. And she's moving through this tall grass like real slow, and I mean like tall grass, like 7 foot tall.
Oh, geez!
And they're just creeping through it like real slow motion. Yeah. And of course they like big bucks and mature does do. I mean, they think they're just slithering snakes right out through that grass, and they're just going to ease out of the field. But I was in the catbird seat over the top of them, and about ready to drop a bomb on him. So I'm waiting on him. He moves ahead, and I want to kill him right here. There's a bunch of jangles and branches and stuff all hanging, and I can't kill this deer.
Bunch of jangles.
I love this stuff.
Right in the janglies.
Bunch of ornaments in the way.
So yeah. I'm like, I want to kill him right here. So I, and he didn't even break stride.
Didn't hear
you. He's just moving. And he steps ahead. I got a fork to shoot through. And I mean, like a real tight fork. It was dumb.
Like in a tree.
In a tree, yeah.
Like a salad fork.
Yeah, like a salad fork.
Real little one,
there.
You know?
Yeah.
So I shot through that salad fork and shot him, blasted him right through the shoulder blade, behind, like back shoulder blade.
Yeah.
Punched him both lungs. And he made it about 60 and crashed. So
toppled up.
Called Austin, said, "Get over here. We got a buck to roll this, out."
Yeah, this was the day after my second trad kill, so we were on fire.
Oh, it was.
I killed mine on the 8th, and then I killed my second one on the 12th, and then Ross was the 13th. So
and
I
Friday was, the 13th.
Yeah. I was the I think I was the 25th, the 30th. So
Illinois is on fire.
They were just
Play-Doh snakes.
They're making Play-Doh snakes over here.
So Austin comes over, we take some pictures, we drag him out, we go take some more pictures right before dark. It was cool. I mean, you get the buck shot and then you still have enough daylight, you can take pictures, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And he was a tank.
He was a big
huge
buck, man.
Body deer.
Yeah, we need to cut out with these fucking teaser pictures too.
Well,
yeah, what's that all about?
I love the teaser pics. I think it's funny.
I don't even know who started that.
It's like OnlyFans. I did, I think.
Did you?
Yeah. It's OnlyFans.
I think you did.
For deer.
Either way.
It's not funny.
Either way, it's fun.
Gnarly.
Did you see, dude,
how about this? You cut out the snacks, I'll cut out with the teaser pics.
Hey, how about that?
To me, halfway.
I ain't posting those.
Too late, brother.
Hey, thing about it is,
I started a monster.
Did you guys appreciate the teaser pic I sent? Like, huge notch out of that deer's ear.
Yes, I did appreciate that.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
at the same time, I didn't.
Yeah, he was old. He got Mike Tyson for sure.
Dude, he's a gnarly, gnarly.
Broke my
old
back.
Buck.
Spinal.
I broke my back.
Spinal.
No, spinal.
My back is broken.
What do you mean? Spinal.
No. Is it vertebrae? No, spinal.
Spinal.
Anyway. So we get the pictures all taken and I'm super excited. This deer, like, this just made my season. I shot a muley and I just shot a great mature whitetail, and I watched him breed a doe. Like, I've known this deer forever. This is the first time I've ever seen him in daylight.
Yeah.
And through all these years of trying to get this deer shot, and he was on the list. He's been on the list for a long time. He finally, him and I got in the same place, same time.
Yeah.
Did I think you that's think what it I put was on. Don Vito at first?
Nope. No, I knew it was.
You
I knew who
you
it was
knew right away.
Yeah,
it's Phil Margera,
and he's cool looking. He's got nice beams on him. He's crab clawed on the end. He's an 8-pointer, just a big massive 8-pointer. But he's crab clawed on the end, right off his main beam. So there's a huge gap between twos and threes. And
he's
and
cool.
Anyways,
Phil. Phil.
Yeah, Phil Margera.
Fucking Phil.
Yeah.
Is he, he's going to be shoulder mounted in the man cave?
He is, yep. I'm going to do kind of like that big six I got mounted. He's got his ears back and chin down, just rack rolled ahead, like pissed off, ready to fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to do another one of those, I think. I like that pose, and I think that'll do him some good.
Show him off real nice.
But. So I'm on cloud nine. Like, I just killed a mature buck and I've got two bucks under my bus. So I got a tag to punch, but I'm excited and I'm just going to chill out. I mean, the weather was going to turn to shit after that day. And I went in that day, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. I watched that barometric pressure like a lot. Like, that's, I base my hunts.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, with the jury.
Yeah. Deer cast.
That's a big deal. So. And I'm too cheap to actually pay for the app, so I just get like one day, and then I don't get to see the rest.
We have right. a code, and
so I just wake up at like 4 a.m. every day and see what it says for that day, and then I can decide where I'm going.
The only one here that can't afford it.
Yeah, must be tough to own your own company.
Just saying.
Just saying. So. Anyways, I'm
so all that money in South Dakota on that rental, like goddamn rental.
Yep.
You spent too much money on a too cast.
Too much on
this
that
year.
Tundra. Yeah. Man, that Tundra was expensive. And that cast, yeah.
Surgeries cast. And stuff.
You know what I mean. So.
Yeah, been there.
You get it.
You get it, right. So, get that deer out of there. The weather turns to shit. Like, I got to get back to work, and I start working a little bit. And what was that? It was the 13th. So then I told my wife on the 16th. That the 17th was going to be money. Like, the weather was going to switch. I was going to get the wind that we want, that I wanted, and I got to go hunting. She, for some reason, decided that she had a horrible headache and had a bunch of, like, her joints were hurting, and she just wasn't feeling good. She'd been exhausted, tired, whatever. So I felt bad for her. I sent her to bed. I said, just go to bed. I'll take care of the boys, get them supper, and get them fed the night of the 16th. And... so she went to bed at like 5 o'clock and I let her sleep all night. I got up the next morning and I kind of, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, I just kind of nudged her a little bit. I'm like, hey, how you feeling? She's like, meh. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm not going hunting this morning. Cause I told her I'm doing an all day or like this is the day.
Yeah.
I got to go into to the hot spot. And she ended up, I got the boys fed, bathed and lunches packed and then basically ready to go to
hit
school
the tree.
And then I'm hoping she wants to get up and go to work, so boys go to school, she goes to work, I get to go hunting.
Yeah,
well, it all worked out. She was happy that I let her sleep and she ended up feeling better and got up and going, and out the door she went. I packed my shit and had my lunch packed and everything. Like, I'm all day in this thing.
For Kurt's sake, what'd you have packed for lunch?
It was a PB&J. Okay. Functional meals. Rice Krispie treat, two cheese sticks, a bottle of water, and a can of chaw. So,
functional.
I was good.
Snacks.
The essentials.
Essential.
So.
Functional snacks.
So, I finally get headed
out. But you mean
out.
To tell me you weren't going to suck down peanut M&Ms all day?
No.
Just clank them off.
Just the essentials, man. Like,
right.
Just
okay.
the stuff
just
to
making
survive.
Sure. Just to clarify.
Ain't no right. Big Mac. Doug. Just saying.
Hey, I'm
Sour
just saying,
Patch Kids, bro.
Big Mac. If everyone packed Big Macs, it'd be pretty rad. Hey,
that's hard. That's hardcore.
I think I started that.
Joke. Eric's the lord of snacks. So,
goddamn.
Well,
that's cocky.
So I'm
coming from the Lord himself. Hey. You heard it here first.
Just you dropping, might be the lord, but I'm the lord of snacks.
Dropping Thousand Island and lettuce all around the base of your tree, just like bring it home, big boys.
Just finish half and just throw it on the
next
ground.
Time I'm gonna bring a Reuben.
Just wad it up, Kobe.
Kobe.
Yeah. Anyway,
I got this.
Ross is essentially packed for an all day sit.
So I go in. So I'm walking into the spot. Like I actually, the wind was blowing. I told you the weather went to shit.
Yep.
I'm going into my spot. Like, I haven't touched this spot. No cameras. No anything.
Yeah.
Four days prior to this, the wind was blowing. Right after I killed, it was the next day on my first whitetail. The wind was blowing like Mach 20. So I jumped in the Ranger and I went flying back to the spot. I'm sorry. I eased into this spot. I wasn't trying to get wild.
yeah, you got to clarify
eased
that.
In and I'm just on the field edge. I don't want to, I'm not going in deep. I just want to get on the field edge and just set a camera, just see what's happening. So I popped that camera on a fence post and got the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Went in there. So now I'm packed. I'm headed in for an all day sit. I walk in there, the wind's not blowing, it's doing swirly stuff. It's just, it was like full sun and then a little bit of clouds and then full sun all day. I walked in with full sun at my back and I got sweaty. I mean, I hung a set. I mean, it was a hang and bang. I'm going in to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my back's all sweaty and I get in the tree. I know no more than get in there. I haven't even got my release on. And a nice, I don't know, mid-30s, 40. Three-year-old comes walking by, beautiful. He's 30. He's mm-hmm. 30. So he comes walking exactly where I think these deer are coming from and just marches right by me, like 8 feet from the tree, just right underneath me and on by.
Yeah.
Walks out and actually walks right in front of that camera, like nose to the camera, which is cool. I made it until noon. So I'm like texting buddies and Snapchatting and stuff. I'm like, I'm doing it all day or today, guys. Like, this is, I'm here.
You're doing it.
And I made it till noon, and I got cold, and I got cold, cold. I just, that sweaty back stuff is just no good.
Yeah,
that's not good.
I'm like, you know what? There's a fresh work scrape like 26 yards from me. Perfect. I can see it, but there's this 3-inch sapling that's like right in the way. It branches out, and I can't shoot that. Like, it's going to be a mess. I got to get down. I got to cut that thing out.
Oh, it's bugging you that bad.
It's bugging me, man. I got to get rid of this tree. And then there was two other little limbs that I wanted to nip. And on the way by, I nipped those two, and then I cut that thing down. And I don't know if you guys do this or not, but when I cut a tree in a hunt, like, it's hot and ready, like I'm planning on killing today. Mm-hmm. I cut a tree branch, I cut a tree off, whether it be a sapling or whatever, throw that bad boy off in the weeds. But before I throw it, I reach down, I grab mud, and I just smear mud all over the bottom of that thing, throw it in the weeds, and then I smear mud all over that stump I just cut
white
off.
Cuts.
Yep. White cuts. And they smell, you know, they put off a pretty good aroma when you fresh cuts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, white cuts, man. I thought about that, making the ground blind in Oregon. We made our own, like, for the deer coming through this pinch point. And it's like the one thing I thought, like, you're cutting like a juniper tree, like, don't let all the white cuts show, because it's like the first thing, it's like, whoa, what's that?
Yeah, they pop. I mean, their eyes just shoot.
Oh,
right,
you can see
them
when you walk through. If you've ever been where somebody sawed off some trees, you're like, what the fuck's all that going on?
Well, that, and you know the smell of a tree, a fresh cut tree puts off. So, and you know their noses are 8 times stronger.
It's a pro tip.
Anyway, so I smeared some dirt on the stuff. I threw this branch out of the way. There was an ivy vine hanging. I got it nipped up a little bit, and I had to go back and change my clothes. Like, this was way too much. I'm cold, freezing. I got to go. I shot back by that camera. On the way by the camera, popped the card, went back, threw it in the laptop, changed my clothes real quick while the laptop was warming up. I just click, click, click all the way through it. This is the 17th that I'm in there hunting. The 15th at 4 a.m., I had a picture of a deer with a thick chest and lots of white on top of his head.
Fucking sick.
Couldn't tell. Couldn't tell for sure what he was. A shit picture. You know, it was 50 yards, 40 yards, 30 yards, whatever. In the dark, IR sucks. You know, it's just the best I could do. I'd seen this picture, and I was like, that's a mature buck. And I'm turning around and going right back in there. So I hurried up, changed my clothes. I beat feet back to the ranger all the way back there. Eased my way back in, quiet. And at this point, the sun come up. There was a good dew in the morning, like a frost and a dew, and it was nice and quiet. Now it's like crunchy. That sun's been out, and it's just no wind. I mean, every crunch gets made. It's just everybody can hear it. So I'm just easing my way in, trying not to get sweaty, because that'd suck for a second time. So I start getting back in there. I finally ease in. Like, all these trails are coming together right on the right side. I mean, the perfect side of the tree, and scrapes, and I'm walking by. I'm trying not to brush every branch and scent up the place. I get in the tree, sit down. It's like 12:45, and so I was out 45 minutes. And I'd sit there and wait. Well, like I feel like a lot of guys do. You get bored and you start jacking around on your phone and Snapchatting and, you know, looking through Instagram and Facebook and all that. I got sucked in sitting there. I had the phone put away for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I better check something, you know, and just pull it out.
I got a notification.
Let's see what the wind's doing. I don't know. I got a wind checker here, but what the hell? Let's see what weather.
I'm going to put my phone away for 20 minutes, and it's like 20 seconds, you're like, I ain't seen shit. I'm getting
that back up. So I'm bored. I mean, it feels slow. I mean, I saw that buck in the morning. A coyote chased 2 does by me in the morning. Otherwise, nothing. I ain't seen nothing.
Typical just, midday set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bored. So we're getting to be, it's like 2 o'clock.
It's not deer 30, so you're like, I'll fuck around my phone a little bit.
Yeah. So it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, I never shot a deer at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody's walking around. And I'm looking at my phone. Something catches my eye out in front of me. I look up, and there's just a megalodon of a whitetail walking through the woods, marching. Just not marching. He's strolling. He's just on a stroll, knows where he's going, quartering away, walking away from me.
Like the trophy that he is.
And he's just walking up. So I'm hunting like the top of a big ridge. So there's this huge gully on both sides. And he's just rolling up this hill and headed off into who knows what. Like it drops off and it's into deep shit. So
yeah, yeah.
I already feel like I'm in the deep shit, but I am on top of a ridge. Like I can see down both sides. I mean, I'm in a good spot where I can see everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's just marching, just doing his thing. Of course, I get up, like I hurry up, get up, put my phone, throw my phone in the backpack. Like, oh shit, now we're hunting here.
Yeah. So, right, here we are.
That's what I'm doing here. So yeah. I grab my buck growl and I waited. I just had to wait him out. So he's like 70, 80, like walking away from me. Has no idea I'm there. The wind's blowing right at him. It's a southwest wind at this point, switching to south southeast, which I don't need. But it's a steady, like, 2-mile-an-hour wind. Like, it's not good, but yeah. it's there. He's still walking. He gets up there. Just when he gets behind a bunch of trees and out of sight, probably 90 yards away from me, tops that hill, I turn around, and I let out a brrr, brrr. I just barked at him on the last one. As soon as I did that, I was like, what the hell is that? Why did I just do that?
Why did I bark at him?
Time out. Doesn't everyone think that when you see a buck and you give that little and you're like, what the fuck was that? Well, that didn't sound anything
Ross's
like a deer.
Ross's emotions were just so fired up. He's got a fucking giant that just got by him. He's like watching this huge rat go by him. He's I'm going to bark at him.
Why did I do that? So bad. I'm like, I'm freaking out. Like I'm just like blowing a flute in a band. Like it's just... I don't even know what I'm doing. I just turn around.
It's funny because we all been there.
I know that.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
What the
everyone,
fuck was
everyone's
that?
Been there. Like, oh, I'm going to totally trick this buck into coming in.
I'm going to bark at him. Like a shih tzu.
Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck? Was that a duck call or what the hell was that?
Yeah. No, we've all been there.
So I blow on this call. Oh, go ahead.
No, I had no point to make.
Okay. So I blow this call away from him. I turn around. I blow it away from him. And then I don't even turn around to look at him. I just tuck the call right in the seat of the stand.
Yeah.
Because the seat of the stand is folded up. I just tuck it between it and the tree. And I just slowly turn around and just raise my left hand right to the bow. I grab the grip and then I lock eyes with where he was at. I can't see him yet. So this is about a 15, 20 second time span.
Yeah.
Just slow motion. I just blew a call and he's looking hard. So. I know he's looking. Yeah. And he's either, at this point in my mind, I'm like, he's staring hard. He's either going to commit or he's going to get the shit out, you know,
or
the hell
he's
out
on
of
his
here.
Way to you.
Yeah.
So I just grab the bow and I'm just holding on to it, waiting. And pretty soon he just starts marching right at me.
How far is he at this point?
80, 90.
How big do you think this deer is at this point?
175 inches and I'm leaning hard. Like this is. This is a big buck. This is 107. This is a old, holy shit.
No brainer. Big
like,
time
like,
NB.
Like, I don't need to pull my binos up to judge this deer.
You know
like,
he's...
This is, yep. I'm shooting this deer if he comes in.
Yep.
So, on you. Anyways, so he's marching right at me. He gets to 40 yards. And as he's coming, you know, that distance, he gets to 40. Like, the whole time, it's one of those I'm focused on, I got to make this shot, but... Holy shit, that's a rack.
You're pumping.
Like, this deer is huge.
Yeah. And your heart is pumping.
I mean, I'm jacked. I haven't had that much of a heartbeat or heart pound out of my chest like I have. I mean,
in 15
years. It's been a while. But he was like, boom, 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 like just pounding this chest. But anyways, he's moving, coming in, locks up at 40, just stops, just starts looking around. I'm like, oh, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
No shit.
He's trying to find you.
Oh, yeah. Two squirrels behind me down over the hill just start wrestling around and chasing each other and then stop. It's like they just stop. And he thought, you know what? That's got to be them. Or him or whoever. Like, I'm going to go check that out. Here he comes. He's coming. He makes it all the way to like 12 yards. And he's following this trail, which that young buck did earlier in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he gets behind this big tree, I'm going to full draw. I'm going to kill this deer at 8 feet. Like, it's going to be, bam, just right on top of
The only time and squirrels come into play for
no kidding,
reason.
The benefit.
Jeez. So he gets to this tree right before he gets behind the tree where I'm going to go to full draw. He cocks his nose for just a second and then cocks it pretty hard and then just jukes out of there, like blows out. He's gone. Like, he's leaving. He just caught my wind because that wind just died. I mean, it swirled hard. Like, he caught my wind and he's out of there. And he jumps out, he takes off. And as soon as he turns and takes off, I just went the full draw real quick. And he run out. He made it to about 27. I went, meh. And he stopped. And he stopped with a tree, like an 8-inch tree, 6-8 inch tree, something like that, right in the money. Like,
yeah.
I want to kill this deer in both lungs, quartered away from me. I want to shoot the back of those lungs, but there's a tree right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a bitch, how am I going to pull this off? I can't shoot him in the back hips because that ain't going to work. So I've got like a 2-inch gap I got to hit and hopefully stick this deer right in the heart. It's the only shot I got.
Yeah.
I can't hit that shoulder. I got to hit the heart. I mean, hit the heart or not, and not hit the tree.
27 yeah. yards on a fucking giant.
And he's just. So I'm full draw. I lean on that thing. I'm just. I mean, this all happened so fast, but I felt like right. I really took my time on this shot, and I had to just graze this tree to get it to hit where I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And I just. And zapped that prick right in the X ring. Just. Boom,
no
right
shit.
Heart. And prick. He just. I mean, like.
Hit a shit or get off the pot at that moment.
Like, blood just. Boosh, it just starts gushing out of him. And he's running. He takes off. He runs back to where I'd called at him. And he stands there. And I mean, as fast as he was running away with all that blood coming out, I was like literally pulling my phone out of my pocket, just shaking, like, holy shit. Yeah. I'm calling Austin. Like,
he's got the phone out dialing before the deer's even fell over.
So, I will never forget it because I went in on a public ground that night on the way home from work. I'm like, I'm just going to go in. I think I got a good spot. Hang and bang. I get my sticks up. Stand set. I just climb in the stand. I pull my bow up. You know, my watch will give me notifications, and I just see you go, hit a fucking giant. And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, my God.
But it doesn't tell me who sent it, though. All I see is, hit a fucking giant.
Oh, shit. So you're, like, wondering immediately.
Oh, yeah. I'm pulling my bow up. I'm sitting on the bow hanger. Like, I don't even put an arrow in the rest yet, and I'm pulling my phone out. I'm pulling my phone. I'm like... It's Roth. Yeah. Roth's a fucking giant.
So you hit this deer, he's bleeding, he runs out to where you originally called
about
at
80,
him.
About 80 yards, you know. He's standing right there, and I could just see, I mean, he's painting trees on the way by. It was awesome. That was a rage hypodermic I shot there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I just blew him open. So I get my phone out of my pocket, bring it up, watching him still. I mean, I'm like dialing, but still watching him. And it was a matter of seconds. I mean, he just dumped over and kind of rolled downhill a little bit, and that was it.
No shit.
So, anyways, I called Austin up, and he said I'll be there in like 25 minutes, 30 minutes. So this was a hang and bang. I went in, hung that stand, and I literally just packed my stuff up, and I all the way down the tree. I mean, I just pulled everything out and dropped everything down. I mean, just...
nonchalant.
Just packed that stand up and put it on I set it to the side and grabbed my bow, and I went after, you know, just went and followed the blood trail.
Yeah.
And it was red carpet all the way. It was insane. But walked up on him and just couldn't wrap my mind around what was going on. I mean, it was just, I was shaking and so excited. And
because you call me and you go, like, you go, just, dude, he's 180s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit. He's not 180s. He's better than 180s.
He got bigger than 180s, but I tell you what, man, walking up on him, it was just, I couldn't believe it. Like, he's a moose, man. He's just big.
Dude, well, and you know too, when you get that text, you know, when you get that text, especially from Ross, where he says, shot a fucking giant.
Yeah.
You know it's a fucking giant.
And then you get a fucking hammered and like you know he's
yeah, the confidence of the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. How break this deer down for us, Ross.
Oh boy, so he's mainframe 10. He's got a big split brow on the left. He's got a really nice four and a half inch like sticker looking point right off the base on the left. Little split on the right brow. Brow's a little weak on the right.
I mean, compared to the other one, maybe.
It's an average, like, yeah, it's a 5 or 6 inch brow, but it's one of his weakest points, if that says anything about the deer.
Yeah.
He's got good beams, man. He's knocking on 28 on beams.
I was going to say 28 to 30 beams.
He's got some very heavy mass all the way out. Great fours. He's got great threes, good twos, great twos, split two on the left, huge bladed three on the left. You know, there's that's a little stronger four on the right than there is the left, but you know what? I tell you what, this is one of those deer that you see something like this walking through the woods, and it's just almost, it's an out of body experience. I mean, I'm telling you,
it's like unbelievable.
This is the stuff that guys dream about, that I dream about all the time. You sit in that stand and you wish, you hope, you go in there hoping for this ghost to show up, like it's. You know, whether you got a picture, I went in on this deer based on a picture I had the year prior. I didn't run cameras. I didn't get too serious about it this year until late. I put a lot of hopes and dreams into this deer. I know that this is the spot to go to if I want to kill a great big buck, and it's high pressure. I just based everything on, you know, the barometric pressure. This spot hasn't been hunted. I haven't been tracking it up. I just
low pressure, high barometric pressure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. So I thought this is an all day sitter. Obviously, yeah, I mean, yeah. when you have if you got a little sliver like that somewhere, you keep that little spot fresh until it's just right, and then you put in those all day sits. Now I didn't want to get out at noon, but I had to. I had to go change clothes, but realistically, and making all that noise going in and out twice, that's no good. I mean, you're better off to one in and one out.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know, harm yourself.
Yeah. This buck right here, man, this is a buck that, for me, if I ever got an opportunity to deer like this, this would drastically change my mindset on deer hunting. I know maybe it would, or maybe it'd fuel me deeper. Maybe it would fuel me a lot deeper, but I feel like it would change me to a point where I would be, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, because I've never been around a deer this way. I think it would change me from being like so hungry for myself to kill a deer like that to immediately turn into a guy that just wants to help buddies and family kill deer only.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's a personality changer for me.
Yep.
Like, because it's rare. I mean, I don't even know how to, like, put it into words. That's why I'm, like, stumbling over myself. 200-inch deer do not come around often.
No.
So to have more than one is insane, which says a lot about you as a hunter and patience and letting deer get mature and all that. But I think that, for me, would change a ton. And maybe it would make me hungrier, or, you know, maybe it would. But I think it would change me drastically. Is like I've hit the whitetail epitome. I've hit the peak of whitetail.
The way I know, I see where you're going with this, and I like it. But I was able to shoot those other 200s younger before kids, and before marriage. Well, the one was after marriage, but honestly, it's just been a. It made me hungrier because of the time frame and what I had going on.
That makes sense.
It made me want to keep pushing. But I'll tell you, at this point right now, I mean, I got three little boys at home and a wife. And thank goodness, I couldn't do any of the things that I'm doing without my wife watching and taking care of these boys.
Sure.
And allowing me to go hunting. I mean, it's just everything works out for a reason. And thank goodness for her. But this, you know, a deer like this, obviously, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deer. And this might be my last really good one. I don't know, because now I feel like
there's my attention is going to start deer, and then there's world class deer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This is not your last really good deer.
This is my last world class deer.
Maybe not though. I mean, how old are you, Ross?
31. So
you know, a lot of guys that have 4 200-inch deer, 3 200-inch deer are 60.
Yeah,
55. Yeah. They've been hunting their entire lives.
Well, and when you're programmed to hunt the way that Ross does, inevitably another giant is going to show up. He's in an area that has the right genetics for one.
Yeah.
Number two, he's got a neighbor that's passing up the same kind of deer that
is. Big deal.
Ross is not afraid to let 4-year-old 150s walk, and that's really tough even for me to do. I mean, you have to be wired to want to kill giant deer to let those kind of deer walk. And it, and when you are, things like this can happen.
Yeah, that's the big difference for sure. So, for I definitely wouldn't rule it out. But I think what you're saying is pre-kids, yeah, they didn't change. It made you hungrier. But now you might be a little more chill. But I think, I mean, you will kill another giant deer. I consider giant anything 60 or better.
Right, right. Well,
you will for sure.
I hope to. I plan to. I mean, I love this stuff.
This is you're 31, 32.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, we got to be realistic here. I mean, we got another
30, what I was getting at earlier was with the kids, with the boys, I mean, if they're showing interest in hunting, which my oldest is right now, he says he thought that this deer smelled funny last night, but he just smells like a rutted up buck.
He was right.
But he's like, he stinks. I'm like, yeah, he stinks, but he's been on me. He wants to go hunting really bad.
Yeah.
If these boys are showing interest and want to go hunting, I really want to start getting that spark fired up. He's five, getting ready to turn six. Yeah. That's my oldest, and I'm gonna start. You know, I'm gonna start entertaining. I get my wife back into hunting. You know, she's been pregnant for like ever. So, have one, get her pregnant. Have another one, get her pregnant. You know,
well, just it's cool. Like you've done. I mean, you've hit a whitetail, the peaks of whitetail hunting. Absolutely. But now you can give back. Yeah, get your boys going into it. Like,
well, so it's feeding off of what you said. You know, you kill something that good, you just kind of want to back off and just.
I think, but, you know, I mean, I have one daughter, and, you know, she's got a long time before she wants to hunt, or maybe she just won't ever have an interest in it. That's fine, too. But, you know, I'm chasing that, and I don't even think, like, 200 is, like, a big, big bonus points for me. But I honestly don't ever see myself killing a 200. I just hope I can hit 170 better one day, and I'll be just as excited as if I killed a 200. Honestly, I would. And part of it's just locking down, like, this situation to put myself in to get that. And maybe I've had it and I just don't know, or whatever. There's so many variables. But I think if I killed a 200, I would not jump off whitetails, but I would chase my next big, like, epitome type bow hunting goal. Like, I think you'd see me dive super hard into some sort of elk or muley or something like that. Like,
okay. Yeah.
So this basically, we planned a trip, Austin and I, and our good buddy Cody. We're planning on going on a moose hunt actually this next fall, and we planned that like 3 years ago. That was my, it's like you're saying, like, that's the next step. Like, I want to go moose hunting. I want to kill my first muley. Like, I want to start branching out and doing different stuff.
Right.
Going through this year and the way it went, and then, you know, I've got more tags in my pocket. I'm gonna hunt hard. I'm gonna put my time in, because I've just been dying to get out there and hunt hard. This was, I mean, I'm going to call this deer. I went in there with high hopes, and very high hopes, knowing this deer was there the year before. I'm on his outer edge. Like, there is a chance with this high pressure and it still being rut that he's going to get just on the edge of his home turf, and he might just possibly just come strolling by.
Just a little bit.
We did get to learn a little bit about this deer after you killed him.
Yep.
The neighbor had quite a bit of information on him that, obviously, with a deer this size, he's holding it pretty close to his chest.
Right.
After Ross harvested the deer, he came over when we were taking pictures and gave us a lot of the history that he'd had with him and kind of what he thought his home range was.
That's a good neighbor, right?
No
there.
Kidding.
Yeah.
He's
great.
He was really, we've all grown up together.
That's
what everyone needs right there.
He was on this deer really hard. He said he was getting him every 3 or 4 days on his trail camera. So
he was getting night pictures. I think he told me like every other day, every 2 days.
Did he send all those to you?
He's got them all. It's been busy. He'll get them.
For everyone listening, this just happened yesterday.
Last night.
So this is
fresh.
This is just over 24 hours from the kill of this deer, and we have them sitting on the studio table literally right now. So
we've been busy.
Yeah, so I get that. But I hope that he will send those to you.
Right. Oh, he will, definitely. But this is a buddy I've grown up with, we've grown up with, and he's a killer, man. He kills some really good deer, I mean, big ones.
He's wired the same way we are. He's not afraid to let huge 4-year-old deer walk. He does it every year, and he's hunting the same caliber deer that we are.
That's always awesome to hear, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I shot this deer, I don't know. Like Kurt said, he would be on to the next adventure or anything. If I shot this deer, I don't think I would know what to do.
I don't know what I would do either, but.
Maybe I don't know. And part of it is like I don't actually know.
It's like the unknown.
I don't actually know
what my mindset is. It's very unknown.
I'd probably just be like, cool, I'm just going to try and kill mature deer because you can't. It's not realistic to kill a 200.
No, you can't try it. You can't try to top it. But what you can do is just try to like for me, it's all about that encounter. Having another encounter with a big mature deer. It doesn't have to be a 200.
Right.
But it'd be awesome if it happened.
Right, for sure.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. So when I've been fortunate to kill some really big bucks. I love being on this podcast and talking about all the bucks that I've killed in the past, but it does make me nervous talking about them. Anytime you kill a big buck like this, you get so many haters and so many people pinching in on you or any of that. Like I almost won't be like that one guy that just laid back in the weeds and didn't say
the
nothing.
Guy with
like
seven 200s.
I'd rather not have all the attention. I mean, I appreciate it and I'll high five everybody and thank you very much, but it makes me nervous. I mean,
I get that.
I know it makes you nervous because every time when you first started coming on the podcast, I was like, oh, yeah, Ross Bigger, you know, the guy with 200 inch deer.
I'm going to crawl in a hole.
He's like, quit saying that.
Stop saying that. And just back it off.
Maybe we need to stop doing it. But why don't you think working class bow hunter sells post trail cam pictures on our pages?
Well, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just.
Once they're dead,
we got to wait.
What you post those after he's laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Ross, right. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When you shot that first 200 steer,
mm-hmm.
did you ever think you'd shoot another one?
No, absolutely not, man. I thought, you know what? I mean, I think I was 18 when I shot that one, but I thought with the ground that I'm hunting, I mean, there's a possibility. But I shot a lot of deer.
I shot a lot of really nice. It was always in the back of your mind you might shoot another
one. I mean, it was in the, it's, I would like to. Dream that it would be possible, but
I mean, you gotta have that imagination, or
that's what like what I'm talking about. Like this deer laying on the table, it's just you see something like that, you picture something like that walking through the woods in front of you, or hitting that trail that you think that you're dialed in on, and like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
He's gonna hit that scrape. He could show up anytime. That's why I'm sitting here all freaking day.
Yeah,
and hopefully something like that shows up, and then he actually does. It's just you get an out of body experience, like. Is this happening? Holy shit. Like
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What's it like to see an actual 200-incher on the hoof just doing its thing?
That's nuts, man.
And then for you to grunt at it and to come back, holy shit.
And then to call at him and pulling my, it.
Well,
he was gone. If I didn't have a grunt call in my pack, he was gone.
He heard that bark. He's like, what's going on over there? Uh-huh.
You're in the middle of the lockdown phase where a lot of these big deer are really tough to find.
Yeah.
So Ross is hunting middle of the lockdown phase at 2:00 in the afternoon with no more than a grainy picture of a decent mature deer.
Yeah.
And then this thing shows up. Like that's the magic of the rut.
And that grainy picture we're talking about is this deer. You just can't tell because it's a shitty picture.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I got like, it on
so far away.
It looks like, yards away.
It looks like maybe 160.
Yeah, I got it on low res. I mean, it's just I'm not putting
he's
on
just too
high
far.
Output.
I mean,
you got to save them batteries,
but
man.
But it also goes back to few podcasts ago, trail cameras they never tell the whole story.
Nope. Yeah.
Never.
And you know, that's the thing. You might, especially during the rut, man, you go out there and you're hunting and you say, well, shit, I don't have much on camera this year. You go out there and the rut can do miracles.
Like yeah.
You might just all of a sudden a 175 just jumped off the neighbor's side. That has been a ghost this whole time,
yeah.
And rolls right past your stand, and you're sitting there at 2:00 in the afternoon, or 1:15, or whatever. That's why this time of year, man, with that, you watch that barometric pressure, you watch that wind, mm-hmm. and you focus in on what you pick your days on. I'm calling in sick. I'm taking this day off. Like this is an all day sitter. Pack your lunch, sit your ass in that stand, and wait. Like that's. That right there is what I do, and I'm going to continue to do and pick and choose my days based on that.
For sure. I mean, it's hard to argue with you, man, with a deer like this sitting on the studio table. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
It's an absolute stud. Super happy for you, man.
It's fucking monster.
That's the type of deer to get you emotional, man.
It gets me emotional, and I wasn't even the one that shot him. Like to walk up on a deer like this, I was like, man. Ross, my God, he just keeps growing. He's huge.
Austin let his emotions out behind the camera.
Dude, this
he
buck.
He was just talking and.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. This buck is insane.
He's 188 inch typical frame deer with like 13 inches of junk, basically.
Yeah. No, that's.
That gives you an idea of his frame.
It's absolutely nuts, man, to just see this thing sitting here. It's everything you
dude,
wish
it's,
a whitetail would
be. It's like literally what you picture a monster.
This honestly, if my wife came up and said, "What's your dream whitetail?" Yep. What is? Well, 'cause she knows I've vented to her about like more than anybody. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
This frame right here. Is it framey,
dude? Framey.
Yeah, either picture like that typical or just, you know, a junk, insane, non typical. Like, but typical wise, like, holy, this is it.
Big
this
beams, is literally it. Spread.
I think we times, talked. I think we mass. Talked big typical or what our dream buck would look like
on the way to Wyoming.
Yeah, on our roadie.
Yeah, mine's a typical, and that, yeah. I mean that's it right there.
This buck is off the charts, dude. Like it's hard to even put words on it. It's fucking incredible. Pick that thing up, dude. Let's spin this thing around here. We're going to do a live video, I think, right after this podcast on our social.
Talk about world-class typicals. You're looking at one right there, boys.
God damn.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Dude. Yeah. It
looks even crazier when you pick it up. It's right? Spinning around.
That thing isn't nuts. We get all quiet. Dude, the threes on that sucker. How long is that right three?
12 to 13. I can't remember. Between the threes, the big bladed up nasty threes, and the beams, that's my favorite part of
the
deer. The
twos aren't far behind.
Oh, man, it's beautiful. God, it's beautiful. That's a perfect deer, man.
I got half a chub right now.
Ross, real quick before we close out, talk about what kind of mount you're going to do through Old Barn. God damn,
dude. I tell you, man. So, sorry, I was putting that thing down.
Yeah, you shook the whole fucking table.
Hey, trust me, nobody's upset.
No one's mad at all.
So, yeah, I got over there, and I'll tell you what, man, those guys are so good. No, I hadn't been there before, but no, I'll tell you what, that was what an awesome place. Like, they're so dialed in. You take a deer there, like we talked earlier, you're going to get you can drop it off for processing, you can get the head mounted up the way you want it. But yeah, no kidding. We're just sitting in there talking to those guys and they're dreaming up all kinds of different angles. I'm showing them what I got to work with and, you know, let's do something here or there.
Yeah.
But, they started throwing ideas at me. I hadn't even thought about it. They're talking about manufacturing, like building different,
welding steel structures
together and then making them part of the habitat and like hanging on the wall and, it was so cool. So what I'm
some Cabela shit going
I
on.
It's
going
to
be epic.
Yeah,
I'm actually going for the full body. So I've got one full body in there in my man cave now.
Yeah, your other 200 bedded.
Yeah, that 207 Showtime. He's bedded. I'm going to do something different with this one. I don't care for the jumping buck as much as I do other poses.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking about is coming off of like the upper balcony loft area and not jumping the fence, but landing after jumping over the fence or walking downhill, like walking down in
to a ravine or something.
Yeah. Like it, which like would be like the dining room table or the pool table or the couches or whatever, however it lays out. I'd like to have him walking downhill like he's coming into the.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So
we gotta do a full-on display of your man cave too, so everyone gets this picture idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm gonna keep that place locked up like Fort Knox.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Just put sharks with laser beams attached to their heads.
Yeah,
in there.
Yeah, or just stand there at full draw all day long.
Yeah, you're getting the lead. Just hold your bow back.
Just sleep up in the
just
cupola.
Just train the kids. The assassins.
I'll just move in there once my wife kicks me out, and you can just.
Ob's moving there right now. I don't got nowhere to go.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. Steve could rent it off you.
Oh yeah. We should talk that.
Ain't nobody going around him.
I'd hit him up.
It'd be like 4 months back on rent, but he'd pay you.
He just bring in girls like, hey, yeah, this is my place. This is my bucks.
Yeah.
Is that your house? Nah.
Nah.
Hitting up she's on Grindr.
I rent that out to my buddy.
Hitting up they's.
Well, either way, I can tell you right now, I'm super blessed, super happy. Just
man, congratulations,
it's been a heck of a year, and I put a lot of hopes and dreams into this season, man.
Yeah, it's awesome,
and to have it all come together, I feel like I've been patient and trying to do the right thing. Get every, you know, get the boys all. We got them in school now, and we're get this arm healed up and moved and remodeled and. Now I feel like I'm hitting the woods pretty hard. This is the year to hit the woods hard.
I bet you feel like when you broke your arm, you thought your season was over, didn't you?
I mean, it ruined my I could have went to South Dakota early. And but like Bill kept telling me out there, I mean, the whole trip, he just kept saying, everything happens for a reason. Well,
yeah, man. Yeah, that's true.
True.
Hey, from broken arms to $3 and a 200 incher to cap it off, man. It's
Hey, I'm blessed to say that Illinois is kicking our ass with this deer sitting right here in front of us.
This angle right now that I got, oof.
I'm honored to say that.
Well, the crazy part is the late season king, this is the first time you're going to miss out on late season.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that thing about it, what scares me, I'm happy. I'm cool just not even running a trail camera the rest of the year. Like, I'd rather just
come film
ghost me. Out and just, yeah. You know, I'll go film somebody else. I don't even want to know what's back there right
now.
So
I did. I moved cameras, and I'm not going back till shed season, boy.
That's right. Boy. So. Anyway, I'm ready to just chill it out and go hunt. Actually, no, we're gonna shoot some does.
Hey, doe palooza, coyote palooza, turkey palooza.
Mm. Yep.
Yep, sounds good to
just
me.
Just a palooza.
If there was a big buck thinking about coming around, he ain't gonna after we get done doeing and coyoting and
the
turkey.
The trifecta
well,
of paloozas.
Here's the thing, doeing within reason, coyoting hard for sure, and that leads to hopefully more bucks in the future.
Absolutely.
You know?
Big time.
We'll have to figure it out. Doe palooza needs to happen. Coyote palooza for sure needs to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, coyote palooza would be fun.
Mm-hmm. We should do that.
What's just the whole weekend.
Are we doing shed palooza?
Yeah,
we should do shed palooza.
We should do that. Should. Honestly, get an army together and just
a lot of paloozas real fast, though.
We're throwing a lot of paloozas out.
But paloozas are the palooza of paloozas.
We're just looking up excuses to party.
Yeah.
Palooza. Beer palooza.
Honey, I have to go. It's a palooza.
That was last weekend. No, this is a different one.
This
Babe,
is different.
You don't understand. It's a palooza. It's not for the podcast.
We shed hunt for about 36 minutes, then we start drinking.
Yeah, that was dope palooza. This is coyote palooza, you goddamn bitch.
It's for the podcast. I have to do
30 minutes in, you finish heading. No. All right, let's go to the bar.
You have no honor, you goddamn bitch. You ever seen that on a... It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
It's because you have no honor, you goddamn bitch.
Damn.
Damn. Do you want the podcast to fail or not? Jesus.
Yeah. You don't even support me.
It's palooza time.
You don't support anything I do.
Just go have mom palooza the rest of the guys' wives.
Wine palooza, mom palooza? I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Anywho, there it is. That's us. That's us in a nutshell. Congrats,
Ross. Congrats,
Ross.
That's a... Just
congratulations.
A giant.
Thank you, guys.
You're the man, Ross.
I can't stop looking at it.
Do you have any closers, buddy?
Ah, I feel like I've dropped all my closers. I don't know, man. No, just super thankful. Everybody else out there, I hope your season goes good. You have lots of season left. Do some late season hunting for me. I'm not doing it this year, so get out there and get cold. Get your miserable. Heavy shit out. So It's going to be good. You can pattern those bucks and get them shot late season. That'll be fun. Send me those snow pictures.
There you go. Wear a working class bow hunter hat or something.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
I ain't wearing one.
Eric?
Damn. No,
just congrats, Ross, man. It's a buck of a lifetime. I know it's your third one, but still, I knew exactly when you said I dropped a fucking giant that it was a giant, and congratulations, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be a part of it, to be there for the recovery on an animal like this. I've never been able to walk up on something like that. Words can't really describe how big he is. He's just huge.
Just to see him, walk up on him, man.
We're awestruck. I mean, everybody just sitting here looking at him. He's just a magnificent animal. I'm so happy for you, man. He's a toad.
Thank you, buddy.
Congrats, Ross, again, and... good luck, everybody out there still trying to get it. Me and Eric are trying to hold up Iowa's side and hopefully...
Hustle, hustle.
Hustle, hustle time.
All that shit you guys talked for all those years, you know?
Well, I'm going to still talk shit, but right now I can't.
Quitting.
You know how boring it'd be if you didn't?
Yeah, right. We just accept defeat? Nah, ain't it.
Nah.
Ain't accepting nothing.
It's going to be like...
Me and Eric are going to shoot one, two that are going to combine bigger than that one.
Hey, do what I did. No, dude, congrats, Ross. It's absolutely amazing. You tried to get me to call in sick to work this morning and go with you to Old Barn, and I kind of wish I would have, but, I work for a corporation, so that sucks.
Plus it's hard calling in sick right now.
Yeah, right. It's a tough go. I got a cough, but it'll be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, it might be off for 2 weeks if you ain't careful.
Yeah, no kidding. You got to be careful about that.
I had the shits.
Yeah, it sucks to volunteer yourself for less than half pay, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
AKA, going to work with COVID if I got it. Hey, what's up? Hey, you set this up for failure.
You set not the rules.
Me. Yeah. Hey, listen. You're going to tell me, hey, if you got a headache and a cough, you have to let us know so we can pay you less than half your wage. Yeah, okay. Cool. I'll be right on that one.
I feel great.
Yeah, I'm sneezing on everybody. Well, anyway, congrats, Ross. Epic 2020. You're done.
Dude,
Turkeypalooza, Cowpalooza, Dopalooza.
Shedpalooza.
Shedpalooza, all sorts of paloozas.
Beerspalooza.
Whiskeypalooza, Garage Party Palooza.
Yep. Yep.
So a lot ahead here. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. Congrats, Ross. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.